Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I am a creative life coach and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am happy and excited to have Fanny Hansen as my guest today. Join us for a conversation about architecture and all the ways Fanny is living her music as an architect. Welcome, Fanny.
Well, how very nice, Margot, to really invite me to this very important show, actually. Music still in the music in you, and we all have a different music. So it's lovely to join the choir, each one of us.
Oh, I love how you put that. I just love that. You have such an inspiring way with words and with architecture. I can't believe you. You know, you've just been such a joy to have in our lives, and I am so thankful to have you on the show today to talk about your work.
Well, I enjoy that because I really believe that the good things come when we all communicate together, and you show just like each voice brings something to another. It's so important to me because it just comes directly to how I see architecture and environment. Each one of us brings something that's a very, very important seed, and that seed can grow if all hold hands.
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. Oh, my gosh. Well, for the benefit of my listeners that don't know you, and let's just today, I mean, this year is your 40th year that since you started your own architecture business. And just can you give us a little bit of background on why you went into architecture and what it was like when you started?
Well, actually, it was very interesting how I started architecture. I was I loved music, and I won a very big competition in my native Bulgaria, national competition, and mm-hmm. I wanted to study music. However, my father, more conservative, was saying that music cannot make my living. So, therefore, architecture will be good because I can draw very well and I'm good in math, so therefore, he is only going to support me if I study architecture. So that's how I landed in architecture. It was very difficult to actually be accepted in School of Architecture, but I made it somehow. And then he was right. After all, I think I was able to work with people and bring some joy to people, probably more than if I was a concert pianist.
You know, working with you and seeing the different projects when Dudley's gone to photograph the different projects that he has for you for the fellowship project that we've been working on with you, I am just so amazed at the amount of service to society that you have created with these different projects that you work on and the beauty that you add to life. Yeah, and then just, you know, I just get overwhelmed when I think about it. I think about the way that you have added more nature to the projects, too. For example, the one of Tiburon, the picture that's in the slideshow, but also in the poster of the waterfront in Tiburon. I mean, that whole thing is so beautiful and adds so much joy for the people that live in Tiburon and who visit Tiburon. Can you tell us a little bit about how that happened?
Well, it's actually sometimes big things happen with starting with nothing, and that was exactly the situation because I was very freshly came to the Bay Area in 1967, mm-hmm. and walking downtown Tiburon, it was this fantastic environment that we had. The railroad was just about to depart, and there would be this lovely place. However, there was a plan that I found that was supposed to bring like a Walnut Creek or high rises to really deprive the citizens and the whole Bay Area out of this lovely waterfront. So I kind of walked there, and I found that something must be to be done. And just how it started with one, two people, five people, we were only five people, that Brewster Morris, he was the chair, and we created a group, and I made the plan of how the plan was to be done and distributed it door to door to everybody to let them know what is happening. And the result, council was changed, and the result is now we all walk there and all happy, and it's really created a lovely place. But it started with really a seed. Was nothing but a seed. And this is what is so fascinating, because every one of us has that seed. It just requires a little effort to really move. And this country is fantastic for this, because everything is possible.
Even now, Margot,
when you walk downtown and it's in the COVID, it is incredible to see that this is the only place in the whole area on this side that people really enjoy, and they are there and their children, and it's even showing how more important it is in a case like what we are now, and that's so important. So good things are going to come out of COVID, because people appreciate the open space more than I think it was appreciated before.
You know, you're so right. I mean, this year has been such a bizarre year with the COVID and with having to stay home or work from home for a lot of people and that sort of thing. But I think you're right. It's really gotten people to focus more on what really matters and what's really important.
And this is a fresh air. This is such a great fresh air, because yesterday I was just passing by, and somebody stopped my car and said, "Look, you're too busy, but you should come and enjoy a place here." I said, "Well, how very nice. I really would like that everybody enjoys it." And this is how it started. And this is why architecture and urban planning, I believe, is so vital, to be able to bring joy to people that otherwise will be deprived of.
So true. Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about some of the schools that you've worked on, and the medical center and some of the other things. Start wherever you want.
Well,
to.
School is very interesting, because the school, I believe that, you know, teaching starts with example. And in the schools, when I was we were very lucky to really win a few of the development of important schools, such as the Santa Rosa Stevens School, and also Kelseyville, and so on. We created kind of environment that the children participate in design of the school, and they brought such a wonderful ideas. And those are the schools that they can use the outdoor space for classrooms. And it's really now, it shows how important that is. At that time, was not as visible. So there were always few very, very wonderful people from the community that voiced their interest of doing something that's beyond the box. And that it's really how you teach the next generation, which is the most important for all of us.
So true. And, you know, I love how all of your designs, though, incorporate nature and trees and beauty, and that just feeds my spirit. Whenever I see the work that you've done, I just get so happy.
Well, it's actually, that's very interesting what you said, because just going into a place where you can see the trees and you can see the light is one that really is fascinating. I mean, that's the art. That's really how every building looks different if it's allowed to respond to the light. And that's inside and outside. So in a place where you can see the light, it's very different. And so I was actually in my School of Architecture in Bulgaria. That's when I learned that. Our professor took us in a dark space and said, "Look, here, look at the microscope and look what you're going to see, all of the bacteria and everything. And let's take the same microscope and go in the other room that has light. And you see, let us know later what you see." And it was such a night and day situation that from there on, I decided I would never have a room without daylight. and it's sure challenging and cost and things like this, but the benefit are not to go to the hospital, really, which is the greatest benefit that we should all fight for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of hospitals, so tell us a little bit about that medical center that's one of the pictures in the poster.
Well, that is the interesting part of the medical center. I was hired in the Anshin and Allen, which was a very reputable firm in the Bay Area at that time, and there was no hospital that they had previously designed. So I was given a program, literally about the whole, half of a house full with paper, and had to really figure out how to do the medical center, how to program it. So I had to start a new program. This is in 1970, a computer mm-hmm. program, which had to really punch all the cards and everything to really show that there is a relationship between the people that are admitted and the people that will be in the hospital itself. But the best thing out of this was that because I was not only the project designer, but I was also as the manager, and I was able to plug in into the hospital tiny, small courtyards in front of the mental health unit. So later when I visited, the nurse came to say, you know, you should know something. The patients, when they go in those rooms, don't need that many drugs because they're calmed, because they see the cascading planting in these courtyards, and they are totally different. And that's my greatest gift I received, that this is what people really need. And now it's so much, this is even more important, because people are enclosed in small spaces. They mm-hmm. share with families. I mean, my own house, we have 10 people. And it's just, it's vital that one can see outside in the light and the beauty and the art of nature.
You know, I've always felt that way myself. And I was really lucky because growing up, we lived up in Shasta County. We moved up there when I was 5 and a half. And we have a ranch up there that we grew up on. So we had the beauty of nature outside everywhere, and you could see it out the windows, and you could be out in it. And I've always just loved that. And then my grandmother and grandfather lived in Montesereno down near Los Gatos, and they had a beautiful home there where they had picture windows that you could see out and see the gardens and see the my grandfather had roses planted all along this one path. And, you know, it just... You know, I've always loved that, just the being able
oh, exactly.
to nature
exactly.
come into the house, you know.
Yes, yes, and actually we were luckier, you know, you go back 30 years or more, people had much more that opportunity, but now with many more people, it's really vital that is almost like important requirement so that we nurture the spirit, all of us, which is so important, and you're so correct to say that. Exactly.
Yeah, I could sense that. And, you know, we live in a condo now, Dudley and I, and we have water views out the front, and we're very grateful for that. But, you know, you're right. I mean, even inside, though, you have to be able to plan the light and the way you do the room so that you can feel like you have some of that lifts your spirit up.
Yes, I do believe that light actually brings energy, and with the energy it brings life to all of us. And it sometimes is not expensive, because you can put now, it's a technology allows us to do such a wonderful things that you can really open a small roof area and then really let the light, and that light will bring so much happiness. And so this is why I'm trying to teach my clients and the community and whatever project is to really, that we try. And cost, of course, is always a big issue, but you have to balance the cost with the benefit on the longer range. And that's what I'm trying.
That's so true. I've also been amazed by some of the homes that designed and built. And the latest one, Richardson, is it Richardson or
Montecito? Montecito in
Montecito,
Santa Fe, the one that you visited, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Montecito, and then also the one at Indian Rock, and the one
yes.
at Tiburon.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, the way that you have included the outdoors into the indoors has just been amazing.
Well, we are extremely lucky when you really think the environment of Marin County and the whole Bay Area is such an environment that nowhere else in the world, and we kind of used to, and we don't really appreciate that much. But when you add to it the light that changes, because in the morning the light is different than the late, even if the land is small, it doesn't matter. It's just that dance that the light provides for us, and that is inexpensive. It's free, and it's just a matter of incorporating it in our lives. And that is the music of your show. I think that's what I believe your show is, the music, is because each one of us has that music inside, and we have to express it, and the wonderful way of the built environment to express it with the light.
So true.
You stimulate
so true, yeah.
me actually very much about the name of your show, because it is a matter of participating with nature.
Mm.
I didn't think about this before, but I really am thinking about this participation with the nature, and that's why we feel good when we're outdoor.
I love
and
that.
Now
the
it's
participation
really,
with nature. That's yeah.
This just came in my mind because that's exactly what it is. It's just we're part of it and we participate with it. We hold hands.
Oh, you know, one of the things I love about the way you do your architecture design and your urban planning is that you do take into account nature, and that's one of the things why I've never really liked sci-fi movies that much, because, you know, they make the future look really awful and ugly, and there's not all the beautiful nature that you can have. And we're so blessed, you're right, here in Marin County, but the whole Bay Area, all of California, and so many other places in the world, there's beauty if you just stop and look at it and just enjoy it.
That is exactly right. And so we stop and look at it, look at the land, look at the nature around, look at the habitat there, and then also the social history, because the history brings another important component in our lives, and I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to incorporate all of this together. And I think the history, the nature, and art comes out of the nature, actually. It's all ecosystems, and it's very important to kind of explain that too, because we have been brought up in a society that only to look at 2 and 2 4, but in reality 2 and 2 makes 4 plus if you really
mm-hmm.
get the ecosystem to work for us.
Mhm. Yeah.
And I think this is going to be happening more and more. So I think there is a fresh air and light that's coming at the end of the tunnel to really see something beyond. And I am almost persuaded. I see my clients are really looking different. I don't have to educate them as much as I used to talk about how important it is to really work and live with in. Together in harmony with the natural ecosystems. And that's true for
yeah.
our body. I mean, that's exactly the same. So we don't need to take that many drugs if we are tuned up with what we have.
Well, you know, there's so much that so much that of our happiness and our joy and living in the moment, nature, and like you said, the fresh air, all of those things can help us be so much healthier. And it concerns me when I see big buildings where people are in cubicles and they don't have any nature that they can see and they can't even get out. And then how busy everybody had been for the last, I don't know how many years. That's been definitely the most blessing, I think, of this year of 2020 is that we've all been forced to slow down and to take a look at what our priorities are and what's really important in our life, not just the urgent and not even just the urgent and important, but the really important, the things that Stephen Covey used to talk about in Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. The really important things are the things that don't have a time deadline on them. You just need to do them, but they're important in your happiness and in your joy. And yeah, it's just,
well, that's really what is everybody's goal. And I think our attitude towards what it is we are in charge of that, and each one of us can make that decision, and when that decision is made, the priorities will come in order. But I will have to say that the technology pushes tremendous amount the button there to be pressured, and I think that is going to require for sure to balance it. Otherwise, the hospitals will be full with people, and we will be extremely unhappy. And I don't think that's a choice. So therefore, we have to make the choice and move full spirit ahead, and that will be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And it is already wonderful. I have to tell you, yesterday a sprinkler head was broken in San Anselmo, and I happened to know how to really fix it. So it was a little up the hill, and the water was running. So there was a girl said, "Why are you doing this? Is that yours?" And I said, "No, it's not, but I know how to fix it." And so, and she said, "Oh, really?" And then you have no idea what a letter she wrote me afterwards. She was absolutely fascinated to talk to somebody and to really be on the same level that you can help something when you know how to do it. And you just stop for a few seconds. This is unexpected. So I'm happy I made somebody happier. Anyway, that's what happened.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because ever since I've been a little girl, I've always wanted to be happy and spread happiness. That was like my main
thing
of my life.
And you are. This is lovely. Yeah. This is lovely. Make a smile. This is the best we can have. And I think now with the COVID, we definitely need it. Each one needs it. Vital.
Well, and I think that one of the things that's so super important that people need to remember is how incredibly awesome it is just to have people be kind, you know, just to smile and to be kind and be thoughtful, because people get so in a hurry a lot of times.
That is very difficult because the technology pushes a lot of buttons and things, you know, and this is, I'm talking about my life. I get up very early in the morning, turn the computer on, something, a click comes from somewhere that I do not expect, or now the new programs, people turn off the programs if you are a minute late to pay, and that creates big, big problem, social problems, and it is... to be in charge of it takes tremendous amount of effort. So we are in charge to do that, but it's not easy.
No, it's a challenge. I'm not saying it's not a challenge. It's definitely for me too. But one of the things I've had to learn to do is to create clear boundaries for myself of, you know, when I will actually start looking on my computer or looking on my cell phone or any of that stuff. I make sure that I have time early in the morning to have some coffee, write my morning pages, meditate, and then ease on into the day, you know, instead of just jump out of bed and get right onto the computer. So,
oh, absolutely. This is so important. You're teaching here, because really I have clients that really send email at 11:30 and then ask me to have the prints ready at 6:30 in the morning. So, you know, we all have to kind of understand that and be more tolerant and be happier together.
Yeah, it's just you've hit on something that's really been a problem for quite a while now, which is because of computers, people are used to things being done instantly, and they're used to, as soon as they send something, well, they should have just gotten it. So, you know, I mean, it's not like you have to wait for the mail or even FedEx anymore. It's an instantaneous thing. They email you all these things they want you to do, and they want you to get done. So,
but this is true also for my grandchildren. They're 8 years old, and they are in school now with the technology, and I see how the math is thought and how there is a clock that is ticking, and it, so if it's not done instantly, there is going to be a problem. So therefore, coming back to the nature, it's going to be vital that we balance the pressure with the lovely light and get energy from another source.
Yeah, exactly. It's so important.
So look at outside. Yes.
Okay, what are some of the methods that you employ when working with others on collaboration? I think that's really an interesting topic to look at.
Well, thank you for asking this. Actually, it is very important because we all see the world differently, and it's very important to have an environment that allows people to express their needs and their desires and their vision. And I find that this has been the most interesting part of any of my projects, is really to let people tell, almost like going to a doctor and say where it hurts, what you really, your aspirations are, and then how do you see a solution. And it's out of this very interesting things happen, because we all have a different expertise from different sides. And it doesn't matter what you do. You could really wash the floors in the house or whatever, and you might have the greatest ideas that really comes. And this was very interesting for me in the medical facilities, because there is a hierarchy in the medical facilities, and the nurses work so hard, know everything how to do. The doctors come in a very short period of time, and then particularly surgical suites I watched very well, and everything has to be done, but somebody has to do everything to know where everything is. So I went and interviewed the nurses one by one, one-to-one, to really tell me what's important. And everybody says, why are you spending your time like this? It's not productive. But sure enough, this was the most important thing, because each one of us brings so many different viewpoints that when you combine them all in harmony, then really gets incredible product. And I love that, and so that's why I love architecture, because in the end, everybody's a winner. It requires lots of effort, but tremendous amount of open mind to know that you are not the one to know all the answer, but in fact, you're just a little dust there that you have to collect all of the dust, good things and bad things, and then put them together. So that's why I love architecture.
Well, you know, it reminds me of while I was writing my morning pages one morning, I think it was sometime last year, I heard to write down what is called the 5 C's. And they're 1, connection, 2, communication, 3, creation, 4, collaboration, and 5, celebration.
And wow. How wonderful. Thank you for letting me know. You always bring something that I have not been... You see, this is a perfect example. Thank you, Margo.
Well, you know, and the other thing is that I keep hearing this, and I keep writing it in the top of my calendar to remind me, teams make dreams come true, and they also make life more fun. And
totally.
I think that people sometimes get so stuck in their ego of they want to be the only creator of whatever it is.
Yeah,
and
I think
whether
the ego
it's writing a song or building a building or creating
or
a piece
selecting
of art.
The architect. Or selecting the architect. Or selecting the architect.
Right.
Selecting,
right.
You know. I really have, interesting examples recently, actually. It's a fantastic idea. There is no audience to listen to a fantastic idea due to some of this. And that is something that we all collectively have to work on, which you're exactly right. It's a team. When it works, it can really move mountains. But if there is somebody who really doesn't want to hear, then then it's another
issue.
Well, people
only hear things when they're ready to, and they only hear what comes from their perspective, can understand what they can perceive and understand. So, yeah.
Well, it depends on the atmosphere, and I really find that it's so important to have a relaxed atmosphere to really be able to hear what the issue is, because very often the presentation of the issue has nothing to do with the issue itself. And how to find the issue is really the art of the deal.
Yeah, exactly. And that gets back to communication, though. I mean, because communication is the key to a quality life or a quality anything. You know, you have to be able to communicate with each other so that you can understand what really is important to the person you're communicating with, and they can understand why you think what you're telling them is important as well.
But the communication sometimes go overboard because we have too much communication, and majority is something that is not vital for solving the solution, finding the solution, and that could be difficult. And I think we are in this world that communication, too much communication, actually makes it very hard for each one of us to focus on the importance of the issue itself. I mean, you
that
can see
so
it.
True,
you turn
yeah.
the TV or whatever it is, it just takes you on a totally different plane, which distracts. And I see also my grandchildren again, and the teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of this programs that you have every 300 viewpoints, which are not really viewpoints of anything, takes tremendous amount of time. And who has 300 minutes to look through those?
Well, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people talk about, that they have attention deficit disorder. And I think we all have it because...
absolutely.
Yeah, because, I mean, how could we not with all this
absolutely.
Stuff coming at us from every direction all the time?
In fact, it's really so hard to concentrate when you're bombarded with so much. But again, I think we're going to learn through this. We are in a very interesting time period that is exciting because we have to find new ways to respond to all of that. And I think
mm-hmm.
architecture is really kind of in the center, because we all need a place to live. We need a place to sleep. We need a place to eat. And so those are the vital needs which we have to respond in the best possible way. And that's why I love architecture.
Yeah, and you just said something that reminded me of something we were talking about in the fellowship document about placemaking. And I love that the words together, placemaking. Can you talk about placemaking a little bit?
Actually, this is terminology that is just very recent, and not many people understand that. But that really is basic, again, a center, because you go and visit places, and the places that make you happy, those are that somebody made a place of that. And it's just like you talk about Tiburon Waterfront, that's a place.
Mm-hmm.
There is a
mm-hmm.
placemaking, because people come there and then they feel happy and they really do something that really will be memorable. And so it's something that actually the American Institute of Architects are starting to really pay a lot of attention on, and not only to look at a building and, like you say, a high rise or whatever, but a place for people, a place that is for the people, done by the people, and it's really basically creates something that we all get a benefit of. And so that's what placemaking is. And it could be anything. It could be art show, it could be not exactly physical, but how you together things make the place, and that's why it's a placemaking.
I love that. Now, where do your creative ideas come from? How do you get inspiration, Fanny?
Well, I really love to be more, to have more time to be with the nature, because actually all of the answers, I mean, pretty much all of the answers come directly there. If you just walk and then see the leaves, and you see how the leaves have been created, and how the water goes to nurture parts of whatever the trees or bushes or whatever, it's all there, and it's really the source of the greatest creativity for everybody. That's where the music is. If you close also your eyes, you can hear all kinds of interesting sounds. And the other day I was interviewed by the national radio, the NPR, and interviewer came with a very special musical instruments that you can hear the environment, and just said, just close your eyes for the moment and let's listen what the environment of this house is. And you could hear birds and otherwise, because otherwise we don't have the time to concentrate on. And it was such a fantastic music. And it changes with the change.
Yeah.
It changes with the light. And depending of where you are and where the air pattern is, that the birds are there or they're not. It is amazing. And this was the NPR that really brought this, and I think they will be having the interview, I think, this December somewhere. So anyway, I just want to let you know that all is interrelated and all the sources, the nature.
You know, when you said that and I closed my eyes, it all of a sudden transported me back to being, on Maui, at the Hyatt Maui, and they have an atrium lobby that's open air, and it's got palm trees and all these plants in it. And when you come down from your room in the morning, there's all these birds that you can hear. It's just so awesome. And you're right. I mean, it is music.
Well, that's the treasure, really. It's a treasure that we have to find time to close our eyes sometimes so that we can hear the music.
That is something that, because I love visual things so much, but I also love auditory, and I love how I feel. And I realized years ago, 15 years ago, a little over 15 years ago, I tried meditation for the first time, and it was so funny because, Fanny, I didn't want to close my eyes because I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to miss looking at the sunrise or, you know, whatever's out the window or in the room. But it just feels so good, even for a few minutes, even if people only do it for about 5 minutes. It's so great to be able to close your eyes and just
Rejuvenate.
Yeah,
totally.
Exactly.
Yes, that's right.
It's almost like rebooting your computer, you turn it all off finally and let it rest and then turn it on again instead of just keep going.
And also, actually, you ask one other where I get my inspiration and my ideas,
mm-hmm.
is really connecting with diverse people and idea and sharing their experiences, because then we all find out in the end that we have to accept a common goal, because it's the common goal is to be focused on the health-centered environment, and that it's a goal that everybody participates and like to do something. And I think once we have that, the project gets absolutely fascinating and everybody loves it, and that's really what it is. So it's basically by the people, and more diverse the people are, more exciting ideas.
Oh, that is so true. And I found that to be true in my life too, that you can get ideas from anybody. It doesn't matter what kind of work they do or what their experience is or where they're from. And it's just, to me, it's fascinating meeting people from different places and different backgrounds and listening to their ideas. I agree. I think that's really, really true.
And in reality, we are really very happy to be able here in the United States to have this opportunity to really share and I have to say that Pittsburgh is one of my greatest projects, the city hall and the civic center and the police facility.
Oh, that's so
and
beautiful.
The people there were very excited to really improve in their lives, and they didn't have that much, but they had a goal. And the goal was to do something that's going to be good for them. And the mayor was the one that, when we were hired after a very rigorous national competition, I went to and I said, could you tell me how to design the civic center? What are your ideas? And he turned to me and he said, look, you have been gone through a tremendous amount of competition. We selected you. Do not ask me how to design the civic center. But one thing I would like is when my grandchildren come along, I would like that they say, this is the center that my grandfather, when he was a mayor of the town, created. He put such an incredible responsibility in my hands. He was not interested to say, I would like to have a tiles 2x2 or 3x3 or whatever it is in this color and that. But that was it. And so I went there with a blank piece of paper all around the community to ask them what shall we do? And everyone gave a different idea. But they all were having a common goal. They wanted to do something beautiful. And not for them exactly, but for the next generation.
Oh, and it is beautiful. You know, Fanny, we've got only about 3 minutes left.
Such a pleasure.
Time goes so fast. And I was just wondering, though, do you have a message for our listeners about life and creativity and living your music? What would you like to tell them?
Well, I will say that it's be part of a solution for creating a healthy environment, and you'll be very happy with, because any little solution will be something that you will enjoy because you have done something for others. And that's what I really find, that the passion and the vision, everything comes together and makes us all healthier. And then we have smile on our face, and we have a great opportunity to do that, because it's now particularly. Just live with now and try to actually leave your music, what you have inside, be outside. And I find that for me has been the greatest gift I have.
You know, all of the ways you live your music, Fanny, just are such a great service to society and to the happiness in our world. I just am so grateful for you being here on the planet, and I've just really enjoyed. getting to know you.
Well, what I'm saying is a teamwork that really is the one, and this is what makes me happy. And I think that each one of us, if we can really participate tiny, it doesn't matter how little, but it makes difference.
Oh, so true, so true. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I wish we had even more time to talk, because I love hearing what you have to say. And that's why one of the reasons, to tell you the truth, why I wanted to have you on the show is because not only are you living your music in so many creative ways, but every time I talk to you, I think, oh, I wish I had a recording of that.
Well, you know, life is recording, so we just thank you for very much. You actually are teaching me, too, because you always told me a few things, and I think the music is all within us, and that is so true. We just have to get tuned in.
Yeah.
And thank you for tuning me today. I have now a great afternoon.
Oh, yes. And I just want everyone out there listening to remember to live your music and share this show with your friends and your family members. Listen to it again and again, and let it remind you to live the music that you have in your heart, because it makes you happier, and it also helps everyone that knows you feel happier as well. Thank you, Fanny. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you, Margot. Really, that was a pleasure.
No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bye for now, Fanny. Bye for now, everyone.
Bye now. Bye, everybody.
Bye.